Oh, we go by that one.
Let's go by that one.
We'll call it in order. Roll call, we have a forum, we have Supervisor Galeski called and said he was traveling. Approval of minutes from the previous meeting. Everyone ready to proceed?
Motion approved.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the minutes from the previous meeting. Any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Hold. Chairman Committee Member Supervisors. Governance here. The only thing I did, we do have a youth governance here.
Jacob.
That related to Ray earlier that we discussed here. I think if we hit the high points here tonight, those of us red-blooded Badger fans could be out of here within an hour here, I'm hoping so. And that's really all I have. I wasn't, not ignore what we have to do, but don't come up with anything new here for this evening. Any other supervisors, anything? Citizens' comments? I see we have no citizens in the audience. Well, John, we'll start with you.
All right.
Okay, thank you, John.
Everything's pretty written down. I just have a couple updates. On the Kemper parking lot construction, they were out there flagging today with the underground work expected to start tomorrow, but we hit a quick snag again with the city permits. So hopefully that's getting straightened around as we speak, maybe, so we can get going. The other thing is the Bristol Town Hall, the group that was proposing and working with us or the gentleman for the last 3 years to move it, now is now asking that it stays where it is and that we allow them to do restoration work on it there and use it at that location. And I handed out an email from John Moyer from Corp Council, and he's recommending against that. And so, I mean, unless they want to come up with the money to move ahead as they had originally proposed and relocate the building, and it all boils down to no parking and its proximity right to the right-of-way on Highway C. I guess at this point, I'm thinking about telling them no to the deal unless they go with their original plan of getting the money and moving it. So, based on the recommendation from Corp Council, that's okay. And that.
I think that's the wisest thing. Ray and I discussed this with the county executive this week also. For those of you that have been around a little while, we went through some hellacious problems on the safety on Highway C 4 or 5 years ago, and we did rumble strips. We did signs coming up right near that location for vehicles coming in and out. And we've gotten Highway C very much under control, and that's in a bad spot to do another parking lot or anything. So it's great, like the Corp Council said, you know, it applaud their enthusiasm, but we can't become involved in their plot there.
Okay, that's all I have, really, if there's questions.
Anybody have anything for Jen? Mike?
One project, detention center. We're picking up the slider door retrofit project again from last year. Remember last year we did 6 doors, the amount of funds we had available. So 22 doors total, there's 16 to do now. We started actually today. So they'll get about 1 door done a day. That should take care of them. So pretty straightforward with that. Staffing, as usual, I've got openings. 2 at the courthouse on second shift, and then I got 1 on third shift at the safety building. So, trying to get them filled, and there's some opening up somewhere else. So, that's it.
You know, it's been lighthearted. We don't really have to rush here, because we've been doing these in about an hour anyway, so. So if you really have something.
No, that's all I want to say.
It's been pretty.
Yeah.
Pretty
smooth. Yeah. Yuri.
Had fairly good success so far this spring with our bids, particularly with the anything involving our asphalt resurfacing program. We opened bids last week for the asphalt material that we use on our own program. That's where we purchase the material, pick it up at the plant, and we pave it with our own crews and equipment. Those costs per ton actually went down 12.5%, which is very unusual. We typically see slight increases every year. For example, last year for the surface material that we use on the highways, last year we paid $52 a ton. This year it's $45.50 a ton. So that's a considerable cost savings. And since we do have a backlog of roads in need of resurfacing, I think we should be able to pick up about another mile and a half of paving this year just with that. That cost savings, so it's
any explanation? That's crazy.
I asked because I was curious myself, and they said that the cost of the oil was just substantially down this year. So
the rough oil,
yeah. And that also reflected in two of the projects, the asphalt resurfacing projects that we bid out for contractors to do in our state-funded program and the local road improvement program. Highway E from I-94 to EA, that came in actually 21% lower than what our estimated cost was on the project, and our cost was based on last year's worth, unit cost for materials. And on Highway C from 45 to U, that came in 13% below our estimate. So so far everything in involving asphalt resurfacing, the asphalt program is looking really good. That's all good news. It means we'll be able to get a lot of work done at a good value.
Those two projects are bid projects? They're bid out?
Those two have been bid, and they came in under our estimated cost by those percentage rates. So.
Then for what we're doing for the county portion that we're actually doing ourselves as a county, are we pretty close to capacity, what we can do in a regular construction season with what we've got on the slate at the moment? Or do we still have some wiggle room there?
A lot of it depends on how things go during the course of the summer with weather and other things that just come up during the course of any year. But I think we could actually do a little bit more than that. I'm sure we could.
That's my question. Thank you.
What? Different topic is, I've had a couple of truckers over on Highway K and 80th Avenue. Mm-hmm. They are saying it's very hard for them to turn there because they have that truck parking lot, the old AMC lot. They're wondering if there's anything that can be done to take it back a little ways to help them turn. I know it's.
Yeah, we're fully aware that that intersection needs improvements, and we are looking at doing some things to it from a timing standpoint on the signals to try to relieve some of that congestion. Not to address the trucking issue, that's a whole nother matter. We have a very limited amount of right-of-way there under current conditions. Eventually, we know we need to reconstruct the entire intersection, at which time we'd be purchasing additional right-of-way, but that's the only answer right now, and it's not something you really want to go out and do piecemeal. You kind of want to do the big final project, you know, at the time that we can, but our focus has kind of been jumping around a little bit, and right now it's over on Highway S. Actually, I think based on what I'm seeing out there, I think Highway H is actually going to have to be our next point of focus for reconstruction with capacity improvements. The traffic volume increase on Highway H is just unbelievable. It's just like nothing I've ever seen before. So, of course, Highway K and H intersection would be right in that segment of where I think we need to look at improvements in the future. But long-winded way to answer your question, I don't think there's a whole lot we can do about increasing radiuses there to get truck movements.
Can you just send me an email in the next few days?
Sure, absolutely.
Anything else for Gary on that?
I just have one question. Do you have more to present, or are you done?
I'm done.
Okay. Just a question on the signals, Highway 50, not so much eastbound, but westbound, approximately from Menards to the interstate. I've taken it various days, various times. It's not a regular route. When I do take it, I notice the traffic flow gets to be a certain point, signal changes, stops, a certain point. Is that by intention, or is that by default, or what?
It's entirely based on the detection of traffic on the side roads. And it takes into account, there's what they call a dilemma zone. It's referred to as the dilemma zone on the main road, where if there's vehicles in that zone, when these other cars come to the side road, it won't change right away. It'll offset the time a little bit, but eventually it's going to, that vehicle on that side road sitting on that detector is going to cause the main road to turn red regardless of how much traffic there is. So it's and there is traffic signals that are interconnected, mm-hmm. where they try to keep these large platoons of traffic going through. Highway 50 isn't. Now, the new signals at 50 and I-94 supposedly are. I don't think they're actually functioning that being interconnected. But there's technology available to address that exact situation, and when Highway 50 is reconstructed, I know that's part of that project to interconnect all those signals. Part of the problem with interconnection is they always had to do it with fiber optic wires underground, and now there's technology that they can do it just in air somehow with whatever that is they use. So it's a little bit easier and less expensive to interconnect these signals. It's terribly frustrating.
It's not efficient.
It's a waste of people's time and gasoline. And
is that under purview, or is that state highway? It's not under our purview.
It's not under ours. I work with the DOT all the time. In fact, they did just today again on a signal problem. I 31 and 158 seems to be a really high crash rate there lately. So
I've seen four in the last month because I have lived two blocks from there.
Apparently there's been four in the last week. Something is happening there and I looked at the history and it went up in the last, well, from 2012 to 2014. It went up. There was 27 accidents there in 2012, and there was 43 in 2014. So that's a dramatic increase in the amount of accidents 43 in 12 months is there's something wrong. So we're working with the DOT on that right now.
The thing I was told is that some people are getting confused by the yellow arrow. Mm-hmm.
It's very possible.
I think there's a correlation to whether or not the Turtle Sundays are the special at Culver.
Distraction factor.
Well, one of them, someone was going down the wrong side of the road. I watched that one happen.
Yeah, the yellow signals are a good, efficient way to move traffic, but they do seem to have people somewhat confused. So I don't know if it's just going to take time for people to learn or if there's a real issue with them, but it's one of the things that we're going to ask the DOT to look into, particularly at that intersection.
Unless they can transfer that signal over to those that are texting. Because I just drove that intersection. We were just doing a job up by Parkside. I went through there three times last week, and I was the only guy looking straight ahead.
Yeah.
Twice, I was the only guy looking straight ahead that I saw coming up for that.
It wasn't me.
Anything else for Gary? No, thank you, Gary. See you later.
My phone. Nice Duke blue. Nice Duke blue that you're wearing.
Traitor.
Okay, ready?
Okay, and Frank is on vacation, and Dan is still on vacation, so I'll run through kind of their stuff. Facilities, you guys saw the report. Probably the biggest thing there is that with the building demo projects downtown and the one by Brookside, that's moved forward quite a bit in the last month. The bids came in very favorable. We had about $135,000, $140,000 budgeted to take those three houses down. $109,000 was the low bid. This is also the first time we've had, I think we had four bidders for a demo project. It's always been two-ish local guys. This guy's actually from up in the, say, Oshkosh-Appleton area. And he's got some other projects going down here, so it's good to see we're getting some regional kind of bidders on some of these projects, directly reflected in lower pricing, because the two guys that normally bid were considerably higher than this bid. So it's good. We're going to be starting, again, if we're able to get a little cooperation from the city with some permitting, we should be able to, that contractor should be able to start that demo project about mid-month. And it's going to be about 4 to 5 weeks to take down the UC building, and another 2 to 3 weeks after that, they're going to do the Zanotti building right away. They might even start to kind of parallel that. So the landscape should change pretty significantly in the next couple of months downtown. The courthouse lights, those Cree, I think I reported at a previous meeting, Cree is going to be replacing all of the LED lights that were put in the courthouse. And their costs, covering all labor and all materials. Those LEDs were put in about 2 years ago, and like most new technology, I still have pretty solid faith in Cree. They're considered one of the industry leader in LED technology, but they're still working out some of the bugs on this stuff. We're actually going to take Mike, I, and our electrician are going to be taking a road trip up to Cree, the plant, to meet with their engineering staff to get a real good report on exactly where they're at in their process, because like I say, they are recognized as one of the industry leaders. We really like to use their product more because they give municipality, Racine and Kenosha, we basically are able to get their product at cost. They're doing that for local municipalities in Racine and Kenosha. But we want to make sure that the products are really in the development stage. They're close to the home stretch and not still kind of in that midstream. That's pretty much, unless there's specific topics on 60th Street or KCAB, that's what's written is pretty much what's going on. The Brookside project, a couple of milestones we've achieved there. We selected a construction manager in late March. So we got them on board. It's Camozzi Construction is working with us. Schematic design, so kind of the conceptual designs, the space, kind of quantifying the amount of space needed and where that space is going to, how it's going to be divvied up. That phase of the project was complete March 20th, so we've got all the schematic prints done. and the construction manager and architect are working together to develop a refined now budget estimate. We should have that by mid-April, the refined budget estimate, based on where it is we're right now in the project. Then we're going to continue to work with staff, the architect and the CM to determine other strategies that kind of allow us to get the most value out of the project. We're going to look at any number of things, because we've got, this is the time to kind of get strategic about this thing, to look if there's things that we can carve out of the project, things that make sense that got carved out of the project to consider putting in, if there's past sins of the existing building, if there's going to be a strategy that we can create the new and also fix the old problems at the same time. We're going to enter that phase next. Late April, we begin the design development in real earnest at that stage. That's when we're going to really start to, on a weekly basis, we'll continue to meet with the staff and really start to develop the refined, detailed kind of prints, so we ultimately get a package of prints ready to go out for bid by late November or December is what we're shooting for. Any questions on any of the... Oh, and a couple interesting things. To Gary's point on the asphalt side, kind of the reverse is happening with concrete. I'm told the concrete in general is about 15% higher this year, so it's good that we're not doing the safety building this year, which is all precast concrete. There's going to be actually a fairly low amount of concrete in this Brookside project, so that's a good thing. The concrete's up considerably this year. And general construction costs, the general rule that I'm hearing is about 4 to 5% higher than the last year or two.
Wow.
So we'll see how that's actually borne out when we get to the bidding phase. But that's kind of a couple little tidbits I've heard so far. That is all the facilities projects, unless anyone's got any questions. I'll move on to the golf. Dan again put together a basic report, but they had a real good showing up at the Milwaukee Golf Show, the Chicago Golf Show the month before was good, but this one was even better. He said they were getting a lot of comments from folks from Milwaukee and points north that were people were aware of Brightdale and were actually coming just to say they enjoy the course and kind of positive feedback on some of the stuff they've observed. Courses did open on March 20th. Had a great first weekend. A lot of folks that bought their season passes. Considerable number of folks that bumped up and went to the gold pass this year. I don't know if that's a reflection of the economy or what, but it started out pretty solid. He's got the golf shop still kind of running at half-mast at this point till we get a little deeper into the season. The RFP for food and beverage, as we talked about briefly at the last meeting, but we really got a chance now to go through it in detail. Really, there was only the one person that tossed their hat in the ring. The one person we were hoping would toss their hat in the ring, a new person, didn't do that. And the one that came in was the same one. Jim kind of did the analysis with purchasing. It was pretty much the same old, same old. And so we're kind of saying at this point, we went out three times, I think, in the last 3 years, that we just kind of put it on the shelf for a while, and then if something comes up, somebody inquires, or something makes sense, something changes, and it makes sense to revisit it, we'll revisit it, because it still would be, it definitely would be a marketing advantage to us if we were able to serve a full line of alcoholic beverages. But for right now, I think we're comfortable that we gave it the college try, trying to get somebody to run the joint, and we weren't successful. So we're just going to continue to do what we're doing. We'll continue to kind of tighten things up so that we can run the thing as efficiently as we can.
Ray, who would be on staff that would handle legislative things? Would we talk to Corporation Council? Or what I'm getting at is maybe it's time that we look into what the law change would require for a county to hold a license.
Yeah, I think that that would be the appropriate vehicle, is to touch base with Bernie and Joe. And
because we do have the staff. We have the expertise to do it. It's that law that's holding us up here.
If you want us to check into it, I can certainly raise that up to
Faculty. Yeah, I mean, maybe we can start the groundwork and looking into it if the committee agrees that...
Yeah, there's no harm in doing that.
No, because that's... Apparently, we're not getting any bids up to have this done. So,
how did it get publicized this most recent time? What was the methodology for RFP?
Oh, it gets put out on our website, and then we send it to individual golf courses. There's hundreds of people have seen that.
But I mean, among the bar and restaurant trade, which would be your most likely.
We send it to some of them, too. Purchasing sends it out to all of them.
It was in the newspapers.
Yeah.
The reason we did this again, I urged it because I was approached by a guy that runs numerous locations in Chicago, and he's got the one up here in Wisconsin.
Sure.
He was all excited about it, and then he didn't turn in a bid. Then we got a bid from people that, as you read, we don't feel are qualified.
There's going to be a number of projects that we undertake at Brightondale this year. Nothing super major, but we're going to be doing some work in the sewage treatment plant. The deep well needs some work. That's the original pump in that from 1972. There's a few odds and ends we're going to work on, but nothing major capital-wise out there this year. And that's pretty much it for golf.
Questions on golf? We're up and running now, so everything's in place.
The question is, the resolution that we passed last month seems like it has gotten over with finance. And do we have any update? Is this going to be status quo this year?
Yeah, the FICA, so if you were at the finance committee meeting, it appears what we're going to do is just kind of stand down for a moment. There was quite a bit of unease, as I understand. I wasn't at the finance committee, but there was quite a bit of unease with the concept of doing anything that could be perceived as detrimental to the funding of the overall Social Security fund. And so at this point, we're just going to stand down, and we didn't feel it didn't seem like it was the time, even though our committee supported it unanimously. We in Public Works Administration think it's a solid thing that it's going to definitely save us some money going forward. But it seemed like there was quite a bit of pushback at the finance committee level. And so we're going to wait, and we may bring it back up maybe as something further later in the year, either as part of the budget process or just separately down the road.
Just a question to Jim. Are we in our last year of principal and interest for the debt service on Brightondale?
Yes.
So from an accounting standpoint, when that goes away, if we were to have similar management, similar expenses, similar revenues, are we almost guaranteed to be in the black because of that?
We made money again this year in golf. A little bit, but third year in a row.
But I mean,
so yes, and that's the debt service is over $300,000
per year.
Dollars. So okay. In theory, the golf budget for next year should be to make $300,000.
Plus whatever else you have, right? We're going to go,
yes.
That's light at the end of the tunnel, and I think it speaks well to the resiliency of our operation to be able to carry
it. It was really a crappy year weather-wise, and the golf business was down, and we still worked our way through and had positive cash flow last year.
Thank you. That's my question.
Okay, Ray.
Move to the resolutions then?
Yeah.
So the two resolutions, depending on how well you gentlemen are able to read some of the property descriptions in that. I should have. Well, I guess in the resolution, Joe actually drafted the resolutions. Joe from Corporation Council. He did identify. This is the parking lot next to the KCAT building. That's what we're talking about with both of these. So the one resolution is pretty straightforward. It's a resolution because as there is our existing utilities that run behind that building, KCAT, that run from the west to the east, some of which is used for the KCAT building, some of which is used for the pretrial building, some of which is used for the public safety building. There's a combination of utilities there. There's fiber, there's phone lines, there's power, and there's cable TV. And the bottom line is they're all above ground right now. As part of the project, we really want to take and put those things underground so that they can be, for one thing, out of sight, but two, from a safety and reliability standpoint, all that equipment, if you look at the telephone poles and stuff, that stuff is World War II vintage stuff. We want to get it all cleaned up and underground. We worked with We Energies to put together the plan to do that, and we do it right after the buildings are demoed, prior to putting the parking lot down. But there was never an easement. We Energy's never had an easement to even maintain the existing power lines there. And so in order for them to do the work, we need to grant them an easement so that they can maintain the stuff going forward. That's what the purpose of that resolution is to grant them the easement so we can get that stuff installed underground, get it cleaned up, and be able to just get that area all straightened out.
So this is kind of a no-brain deal because We Energy is covering all costs.
They're going to cover, just to clarify, they're covering all their costs.
Right.
We're going to cover the Midwest Fiber, the AT&T. Right. Those are relatively less than what the We Energy's saying. We Energy puts the main trench in, and everybody else just kind of piggybacks their stuff and puts it in the same trench. So
great opportunity. I mean, excellent.
Yeah.
You look at all these new subdivisions that are being put up. Everything is buried. You know, you get a snow or ice storm. You're not worried about it. It's basically in the ground and it's put to bed. So.
Can we just get a motion on this resolution?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Supervisor Frederick. Supervisor Grady. Any discussion? Not all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Do the governance?
Aye. Now, the next resolution, so Wendy, have you got the original of that one?
Because I have.
Yeah, from Joe. Okay, then we'll have them.
Sure.
Have them signed. If you could, I'll go right out to the next one. So the next one is a little more, let's just say, nonsensical, but it's still critical that we get it passed in order to get the permits we need from the city in order to move forward with the parking lot piece of that project. So we've got the demo's up to bat, as I reported earlier. There's still a few permits that we have to get from the city, the contractor has to get, in order to actually start the demolition. Okay, then actually there's the whole constructing of the parking lot. Well, in order to get that done, one of the requests the city made to us was that we grant an easement to ourselves. Originally, we were going to put the sewer, the stormwater for the new parking lot. It was going to have to go out. They wanted us to go down 10th Avenue. We were probably going to have to close 10th Avenue and then do that work to link up the storm sewer. We were able to come up with something that they bought, which was good because it's just going to allow us to link that parking lot by KCAB to the parking lot in the safety building. So we don't need to go down the street. We're not going to have to close anything. It's going to be substantially cheaper, probably about 20 grand cheaper. But in order to do that, even though we own both of those parcels, and actually there's about six parcels that make up those two buildings, we need to have an easement to ourselves because they're concerned that at some point, 50 years from now, we may want to sell that public safety building when the market for public safety buildings is going to go sky high. That's basically, I'm being sarcastic, but the bottom line is we need to have an easement before they'll grant us, they'll review the packet of plans to construct the parking lot. So this easement is just that. It's an easement to ourselves so that the paperwork reflects it so that if at any point in the future, if we decided to sell the property, there'd be an easement there where someone would still be able to retain ownership to maintain that stormwater sewer. So that's what it is.
Any questions?
Motion to approve.
By Supervisor Grady to approve.
Second.
Seconded by Supervisor Frederick. Discussion. You the governance?
Aye.
Ready?
Aye.
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 We're approved.
And then those were also on this week's county board agenda. So it's going to, because county board meets on Wednesday this week, these will be up to bat then on that Wednesday meeting as well. So we'll have to get the originals down to EDI and take them down tomorrow. So.
I think we'll be able to explain these to anybody on the county board, these two. And it'll still take the city 6 months.
It is amazing. It's just amazing, unfortunately.
Anybody have anything else? A motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay then.
Thank you, gentlemen.